content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Deb Zuver for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Community Connections. Every month we'll share news and introduce you to people in the community who are making a difference. Let's start with some announcements. It's hurricane season. It's here. Hurricane preparedness is essential for everyone, and especially important for people with disabilities. Here are a few tips on how to prepare and what to know. 1. Develop an evacuation plan, including an accessible method of transportation. 2. Assemble disaster supplies, including a go bag containing essentials like medications and other critical items. 3. Get an insurance checkup and document your possessions. 4. Create a communication plan with a handwritten list of contacts. 5. Strengthen your home. 6. Know where accessible shelters are located. And learn more. You can learn more on how to prepare and listen to a recent podcast from Disability Rights North Carolina, where they share essential tips on how to stay ready for the next big storm. The Atlantic hurricane season officially runs June 1 through November 30. The best time to prepare is well before the official start of the season. Avoid having to rush through potentially life-saving preparations by waiting until it's too late. Get your disaster supplies while the shelves are still stocked and get that insurance checkup early, as flood insurance requires a 30-day waiting period. So an evacuation plan. If you are at risk from hurricane impacts, you need an evacuation plan. Now is the time to begin planning where you would go and how you would get there. You do not need to travel hundreds of miles. Your destination could be a friend or a relative who lives in a well-built home outside flood-prone areas. Plan several routes. Be sure to account for your pets. If you don't have a vehicle, check with local officials to see what transportation options they may have available. Ready.gov is a good website for you. Whether you're evacuating or sheltering in place, you're going to need supplies, not just to get through the storm, but for the potentially lengthy and unpleasant aftermath. Have enough non-perishable food, water, and medicine to last each person in your family a minimum of 3 days. Store a longer supply of water if possible. Electricity and water could be out for weeks. You'll need extra cash, a battery-powered radio, and flashlights. You may need a portable crank or solar-powered USB charger for your cell phones. And lastly, don't forget your pets. Go to disabilityrightsnc.org for more information. The 2025 Americans with Disabilities Act 30th anniversary will be celebrated in Durham, North Carolina, with an in-person event hosted by Disability in North Carolina, that's DINC, on July 24, titled Thriving with the ADA, A Future Without Limits. The event will be held at Biogen in Research Triangle Park and will feature musical performances by musicians with disabilities, personal studies, and more. The in-person celebration displays the talents of musicians with disabilities, as well as people with disabilities showing personal stories of how the ADA provided them with access and legal protections that enhanced their lives. We're honored to share that Biogen will serve as the site host for this event. Now more than ever, it is critical that we recognize and celebrate the groundbreaking achievements of the ADA. The ADA has changed the lives of people with disabilities, enabling them to work, live, and fully engage in their communities. Disability Inn North Carolina is the only business-led membership organization in North Carolina devoted solely to assisting businesses in creating cultures that welcome the skills, talents, and purchasing power of individuals with disabilities by expanding employment opportunities, leading to fuller, more productive lives for people with disabilities. The event, July 24th, from 3 until 6 p.m. Biogen is located in Research Triangle Park. The event will feature the talents of musicians, personal stories. Registration is $35 in person. Virtual registration is $25. And vendor tables are available for $100. Go to disabilityinn.org/event, Thriving with the ADA. Other celebrations, Durham Disability Pride Parade is July 29. Durham Disability Pride Parade, July 29, 2025. From 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. It starts at the Reality Ministry Center on LeMond Avenue in Durham and will feature a walking rolling parade followed by speakers and food trucks. Let's celebrate the disability community in Durham and the Triangle area. Other ADA anniversary celebrations, Arts Access is hosting an exhibition showcasing artwork by North Carolina artists with disabilities, culminating in a reception on July 26th. Arts Access is also hosting a social and concert with musician Chris Hendricks on July 27 at the North Star Church of the Arts from 4:30 till 6:30. The ADA National Network will be recognizing the 35th anniversary throughout the year. And a little more about Disability Inn, the only business-led membership organization in North Carolina devoted solely to assisting businesses in creating cultures that welcome the skills, talents, and purchasing power of individuals with disabilities by expanding opportunities in employment, leading to fuller, more productive lives for everyone with disabilities. And now some profiles. Welcoming Wanda home. After spending 5 years in a disreputable skilled nursing facility that controlled her finances and ignored her needs, Wanda Tiller got help from Disability Rights North Carolina. Advocate Kirby Morrow helped Wanda access the holistic support system she's entitled to and find a path back to independent living. The smell hits you first. That's what Kirby Morrow, advocate at Disability Rights North Carolina, said as she describes what some unethical skilled nursing facilities, also called institutions, are like. She spoke of overcrowding, lack of qualified staff, and overt neglect. And that's the type of institution 70-year-old Wanda Tiller spent more than 5 years in when she could have been living on her own, with a few specialized supports. They call it rehab, but that's not what it is, Wanda said. They took my money. They didn't care about my life, my body, what I wanted. I saw people die in that place. What happened to Wanda never should have happened, Kirby said. In cases like hers, it feels like a war on poverty and a war on those with mental illness. Ball after ball after ball was dropped. This all began when Wanda made one small, relatable mistake. She trusted the wrong person with her money. She invested in cryptocurrency, but it was all a scam. She lost tens of thousands of dollars. This started a spiral that took away her independence for years. When she was sent to an institution, Wanda, a former nurse, didn't just lose her home. The disreputable institution took over her finances. The staff neglected her physical and mental health. They blocked her path to the community at every turn. Wanda knew something had to change, and she needed to advocate for herself. That's when Legal Aid of North Carolina connected her with Disability Rights NC. The Disability Rights NC team fights for the legal rights of North Carolinians with disabilities. The advocates and attorneys handle cases involving discrimination, abuse, and other rights violations of North Carolinians like Wanda with a disability. The Disability Rights North Carolina team shared that some badly run institutions, like the one where Wanda was living, have huge financial incentives to keep people in these types of facilities rather than support them on a journey to reenter the community. What happened to Wanda never should have happened. Kirby and Wanda got to work so Wanda could move back into the community, but the challenges continued. Kirby sent the institution the forms they needed to fill out months in advance so Wanda could rightfully take control of her bank accounts again. They wouldn't complete them. The facility doctor refused to sign the paperwork she needed to get the right health care. The managed care organization's nurse was supposed to fill out forms so Wanda could access FoodRx, a program that connects people with chronic conditions to healthy food. They didn't. After months of advocacy, the Disability Rights North Carolina team was able to layer several programs, including the Transition to Community Living Program and a Medicaid waiver program for disabled adults called CAPDA, to get Wanda the holistic support she's entitled to. Now, Wanda is finally living in her own apartment, and she has access to her bank account again. Wanda and Kirby even decorated her new home last year for Christmas. Wanda is continuing to work closely with Kirby to access the support she needs to live comfortably in her own home. When asked what she wants people to know about her story, Wanda shared that this is only the tip of the iceberg, as these institutions are taking advantage of the vulnerable elderly nationwide. She wants to build awareness about corrupt facilities and for attorneys and advocates to understand that a fight for disability rights is a worthwhile one. And the Lions Services in Charlotte named their Blind Employee of the Year. Meet Norman Fairley, Lions Services Blind Employee of the Year. At Lions Services, we take pride in recognizing outstanding employees who embody resilience, dedication, and leadership. This year, we are thrilled to honor Norman Fairley as our Blind Employee of the Year. Norman has been a part of the Lions Services family for 8 years, excelling in multiple roles as a machine operator and production assembler. Today, he is an essential member of our IRS department, where he continues to demonstrate exceptional skill and commitment. However, Norman's journey has not been without challenges. In 2014, he woke up one morning to find his vision blurry. As his sight continued to deteriorate, he struggled with depression, uncertain of what the future held. Then he found Lions Services. Lions Services brought out the best in me when I was hired, Norman shares. I discovered an entire community of individuals with vision loss like me. A proud graduate of Garinger High School, class of 2002, Norman's early career took him from the food industry to mobile home production before joining Lions Services. Beyond work, his greatest joy is his family, his wife and 5 children, 3 sons, 2 daughters. They mean the world to him. When he's not at work, you can find Norman watching football. He is a huge Carolina Panthers fan. Their motto, keep pounding, has become his personal mantra, inspiring him to push forward through every challenge, including his journey with vision loss. He also enjoys spending time with family and playing soccer with his sons. Norman's experience has led him into a passionate advocate for individuals with vision loss. I love helping people with vision loss, he says. Everyone needs a shoulder to lean on. We may be blind, but we walk by faith, not sight. His role at Lions Services has given him a powerful perspective. Working at Lions Services has impacted me by seeing what other people are going through. It has given me my passion to be a leader for the blind community. Norman Fairley is a shining example of resilience, leadership, and the power of community. We are proud to celebrate his achievements and look forward to seeing the continued impact he makes at Lions Services and beyond. Congratulations, Norman. They have a sighted employee of the year as well. Meet Juan Yaguel Perez. At Lions Services, they celebrate the dedication and hard work of employees. And this year, they are proud to recognize Juan Yaguel Perez. Juan has been a valued part of the Lions Services team for 5 years, working in the mall hydration department as a machine operator, packer, and all-round multitasker. Whether moving work throughout the department or taking on multiple tasks at once, Juan's energy and commitment are truly unmatched. Lions Services holds a special place in Juan's heart, as it was his first and favorite job after moving to the United States from Ecuador. When he first arrived, he did not speak English, but he was determined to learn. Through small conversations with his low-vision coworkers, he not only picked up the language, but also built deep and meaningful relationships. I am grateful to the low-vision community at LSI, as they have helped me learn English better, and I have helped teach Spanish to my blind coworkers. I have also helped teach the English that I have learned to my Spanish coworkers who are learning the language. Outside of work, Juan enjoys spending time with his family and listening to music. His love for connection and culture shines through in everything he does, both on and off the job. Juan approaches his work with heart and purpose. Put your heart in what you do. I am grateful to help others with low vision at work. Work is more than a job, it's helping others. Being named Sighted Employee of the Year is a great honor for Juan, and he is humbled by the recognition. He says, this job has impacted me to be a better person who shows others how to be better in their lives. I thank God for this award. Juan Miguel Perez embodies the spirit of teamwork, kindness, and growth. They are proud to have him as part of the Lions Services family, and grateful for his dedication to both his coworkers and the mission of our organization. Congratulations, Juan. And now a profile of the North Carolina Council of the Blind, our incredible story. As told by Theodore Bryant, the North Carolina Council of the Blind has been in existence for 51 years. The North Carolina supporters of the blind community have had a long-standing belief that blind employees should be treated equally and fairly in the workforce as would any other productive citizen. It is with this bedrock position as one of our guiding principles that the beginnings of what now is the North Carolina Council of the Blind first took steps back in 1959, advancing along a new, independent, and separate path as they dissociated from NFB. For a period of time, North Carolina was without a national organization. A group of visually impaired persons throughout the state felt that it was important to be affiliated with a national organization that was devoted to the causes and concerns of the blind. In searching for just the right organization, the group was intrigued by the principles of the American Council of the Blind. And it was on a Sunday afternoon in the fall of 1967 that a new organization known as the North Carolina Council of the Blind was born within the walls of the old library in Greensboro. On that day, three representatives from the national organization, American Council of the Blind, came to Greensboro to assist with the NCCB's founding members as together they formulated the foundation of guidelines that we still cherish and adhere to even now and as we move forward into the future. From the national organization, our North Carolina charter member team was guided by Durwood McDaniel, Oral Miller, and Floyd Qualls. The original founders of NCCB consisted of Marie Boring, Edison Craddock, Theodore Bryant, Brady Jones, and Marvin Gatlin. As the local and national teams crafted the initial structure, it was apparent that a president, vice president, and secretary would need to be appointed. Appointed to these critical initial positions were Marvin Gatlin, Edison Craddock, and Marie Boring. From the meeting, the group began to organize members across North Carolina into the North Carolina Council of the Blind as a statewide affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. The first state convention was held in Charlotte, North Carolina. Present were many from Charlotte, including Edward and Connie Miller, who were a great asset to the organization. It was at this event that the first local chapter was formed in Charlotte, followed by Greensboro and Raleigh. Later, Durham formed a chapter and joined as well. The second state convention was held in Greensboro at the O. Henry Hotel. From these beginnings, active membership began to grow throughout the state. Towns such as Asheville, Hickory, Winston-Salem, and Burlington began to form chapters and became an integral part of our statewide affiliation. By the time the third state convention took place in Durham, the NCCB affiliate organization was going strong. Theodore Bryant was elected president, and he served in this capacity for the following 6 years. As NCCB continued working to enrich the lives of North Carolina's blind community, we always welcomed representatives from the national organization. Oral Miller and Durwood McDaniel would often visit the chapters to give us inspirational presentations and guidance. As a result of leadership's positive influences, NCCB continued to grow through many of our cities. Members joined as far east as Wilmington. As time progressed and the North Carolina Council of the Blind became more prominent, we began to send representatives from the state organization to the national organization's ACB conventions. The state organization continued to participate in the activities of an important community partner, the NCFB Credit Union, based in Greensboro. Several members held office in the NCFB Credit Union. Marvin Gatlin served as president, Brady Jones served on the board, and Theodore Bryant served as a credit officer in the credit union. So a little history there. And you can reach out nccbinfo.org for more details and to connect with them. Considering the arts, this spring, Frank Gallery in Carrboro featured the work of member artists Carol Rich Bogart, Neeris Levy, Linda Prager, and guest artist Leif Gon Mattson and Pete Sack. Here are some featured works. The show brings together five artists whose practices span painting, ceramics, wood sculpture, and mixed media. Each draws from deeply personal sources, travel, nature, memory, and emotion, to create work that is both reflective and powerfully expressive. From bold mixed media and painterly ceramics to flowing wood carvings and figurative abstract art, as well as landscape paintings, this exhibit invited viewers into a thoughtful and tactile experience. The following is an audio description of Fuji Apples, a mixed media collage by Carol Rich Bogard. The square composition measures 13.5 inches tall by 13.5 inches wide, encased in a flowing black frame. Dominating the foreground are six plump red apples, which are cut from fabric. Some apples appear to be hanging from a limb with three dark green-brown branches. The limb suspends downward from the top right corner of the composition. Jade green leaves attach to the stems of the apples and tips of the branches. While three apples attach to the branches, three apples descend downwards in a horizontal line just to the right of the central axis, perhaps alluding to falling apples. An apple with a singular leaf on its stem sits to the left of the other apples. Isolated against the abstract background elements, it sits in a void between the natural elements in the foreground and the abstract background. The background resembles a faded fresco or mural painting of abstract textures and colors. The predominant colors are yellow, orange, and brown, which blend with one another, adding a foggy or bokeh effect that emphasizes the piquant freshness of the apples. Lines of green and splotches of red, perhaps resembling additional branches, peek through the layers of yellow, orange, and brown. And for a piece under Did You Know? This piece is Discovering Hands, Empowering Blind Women in the Fight Against Breast Cancer. Discovering Hands was founded by Dr. Frank Hoffman in Germany after he identified the need to catch early breast cancer cases that doctors may have missed in regular exams. Hoffman trained blind women as their heightened sense of touch can potentially detect breast cancer more effectively than doctors. Evidentiary support for this method has shown that trained blind women can detect tissue changes 30% more effectively than doctors. Hoffman also ran a 2023 pilot study which further showed that medical tactile examiners are as accurate as doctors in identifying potentially cancerous lumps. In her NPR article, Kamala Thiagarajan focuses on one blind woman in particular, Meenakshi Gupta, who is part of the program. Gupta has worked as an MTE at Medanta Hospital in Gurugram, India, for over 2 years. Introduced to India in 2017, the program is now part of major hospitals in several Indian cities. MTEs are especially important in these hospitals because of the limited access to mammograms. This initiative helps not only with early detection, but addresses the shortage of mammogram equipment, particularly in rural areas where breast cancer diagnosis often comes too late. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Community Connections.